Our Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in space, where a billionaire and an engineer are about to open the hatch of a SpaceX capsule for the world's first ever commercial spacewalk.
I'm on the standby. We'll try to get them to the sea.
Their goal, to test a new line of spacesuits. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
They're not going to really float free of the Crew Dragon. They're going to basically float up out of the nose hatch, just above that hatch, for about 15 minutes each. Jared Isaacman's going to do one of these, and Sarah Gillis is going to do the other spacewalk.
Their mission was delayed for a few hours overnight. Tropical storm Francine is moving inland after slamming into southern Louisiana as a Category 2 hurricane. WWL Radio's Ian Ozan reports from New Orleans.
We've had so much rain that it's getting into our sewer system.
Plaquemines Parish President Keith Hinckley, his parish, and Jefferson Parish are dealing with sewerage backups because of heavy rains. St. Mary Parish OEP Director Jimmy Broussard says Francine's deluge is causing problems in the Morgan City area.
And waiting for the pumps to catch up.
Meanwhile, in Terrebonne Parish, wind is the major concern.
The head of the UN's Agency for Palestinian Refugees says six staffers were killed in an Israeli airstrike on a UN school in central Gaza that had been sheltering displaced families. The IDF says it was targeting Hamas militants who'd been planning attacks from there. A revelation from the Alaska Airlines pilot in the cockpit when a door panel blew off the plane after takeoff in January. Rip Rude tells CBS News she knew something catastrophic had happened, but didn't find out exactly what until after the plane landed.
The first indication was it was an explosion in my ears. And then a whoosh of air. My body was forced forward, and there was a loud bang.
She says she was in shock when she finally saw the hole in the plane. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is speaking out after former President Trump's false claim Tuesday night at the debate that Haitian immigrants in Springfield have been stealing cats and dogs and eating them.
The internet can be quite crazy sometimes. Mayor Rue of Springfield says, no, there's no truth in that. They have no evidence of that at all. So I think we go with what the mayor says. He knows his city.
Rock star Jon Bon Jovi's getting credit for saving a life by stopping a woman from jumping off the Siegenthaler pedestrian bridge in Nashville. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
The Metro Nashville Police Department released video that shows the singer approaching the woman, leaning over the railing, talking with her before pulling her back to safety and then embracing her.
Bon Jovi had been filming a music video on the bridge. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest Marquette poll is trending for Kamala Harris. She leads Donald Trump by 4 points among likely Wisconsin voters. The race was dead even a month ago. Here's poll director Charles Franklin.
These changes are all inside that margin of error. But having said all of that, other things look like Harris is in a little bit better shape this time than last time.
The poll was taken before last night's debate. Meanwhile, Tammy Baldwin has a 5-point lead over Eric Hovde among likely voters in the race for U.S. Senate. Governor Evers had to cancel plans to visit a northern Wisconsin high school Tuesday because of a threat. The superintendent in Hurley became concerned about a social media post and canceled school for the rest of the day. Local law enforcement looked into it and determined the threat was not serious. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers go from QB1 to QB2. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. With Jordan Love out for a few weeks with an MCL sprain, Malik Willis is stepping into the starting quarterback spot in Green Bay. Willis says he's been studying since he arrived in town less than 3 weeks ago.
I'm just trying to put in as much time as I need to feel comfortable and just make sure that whenever my number is called, I'm ready. Whether Jordan can go or he can't, you know, just try to be ready regardless, because even if he can go, I have to be ready just as last week, you know.
The Packers play the Colts this Sunday. Each team will be looking for its first win. The Brewers were blown out in San Francisco 13-2 on Wednesday. Milwaukee has lost 6 of its past 9 games, but the Brewers still lead the NL Central by 8.5 games over the Cubs. The Brewers and Giants wrap up their series today. On Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 80 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy. Our low dropping into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high right around 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we will dive into the Marquette University Law School polling, plus special guest host Earl Ingram Jr. Don't miss it.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, September 12, 2024, 54 days till Election Day, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or through our social media video feeds. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Do you have the concepts of a plan to go vote come November? Because ballots are already starting to get mailed out in some states, and in Wisconsin, that's going to happen very soon, where people will already be voting for the November election, banking that vote, getting it sent in. And do you know if you're registered? Do you know where to vote? Do you know what's going to be on your ballot? If you want information, head over to myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. We'll have a little bit more fun coming up with Donald Trump's concepts of a healthcare plan coming up this hour. But apart from that, a lot of the takeaway from the presidential debate was just that Donald Trump sounded like an old angry man, and that maybe people are ready to turn the page away from that. That is certainly the point of view of one Joe Zepecki. We'll talk with him later this hour. We'll also talk a bit about the latest Marquette poll, which, again, we kind of downplay here. It's a snapshot of some people who they were able to find on the telephone. So it's a little useful, but it's just not gospel. Just keep that in mind whenever we talk about polling, period. And then what a big second hour that we have. We have some women who are looking to the future. First, we'll start with the state Supreme Court, which is not on the ballot this November, but will be the next thing up next April. And a long-time, long-serving progressive justice is retiring. So this is going to be an open seat. And if a conservative candidate wins in April, the court swings back to right-wing control. We will meet the one declared progressive candidate, Susan Crawford, who's got a couple of really good endorsements, actually four valuable endorsements. And that would be all four of the current progressive Supreme Court justices, the four women on the court right now on the progressive side. And so we'll get to meet Susan Crawford, more about her history and her candidacy for the Wisconsin Supreme Court next April. Then we'll head back to the November election. It's Thursday, so our friends from Motherhood for Good will be along. And as you know, each Thursday in their Women Win Wisconsin segment, we spotlight another woman who's looking to be a leader in their community. A lot of them this year are candidates running for office. Many of them that we're meeting for the first time. This one, not so much. This one we're familiar with. Let me double check. It's Kristen Lierley, candidate for Congress, is going to be our guest today. So we'll get to, you know, on Monday she's here and we're talking about just whatever's in the news, her crazy 100-mile bike rides, things like that. This time around, we really will get into the race with her as a candidate for Congress in the 8th District in Northeast Wisconsin. You can join us on the show here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also put a comment on Facebook or YouTube. You can send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And don't forget to use that Civic Media app to reach out to us by phone or by text. Here's the weather at the bus stop. It is 54 degrees up here in Chippewa Falls, 50 in Hayward, 52 in Park Falls, 55 in Wausau. Green Bay's at 55. La Crosse is at 60. Wisconsin Rapids, 53. Oshkosh, 57. Madison, it's 54 right now. And in beautiful downtown Waukesha, it is 52 degrees where we find one Greg Bach. Because if we saw two Greg Bachs, we'd have to put the bottle away. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Well, we'd be called Greg's Bach, first of all.
And oh, that's all, right. Sorry.
And second of all, I have some interesting news for you, Pat.
Do tell.
This just in, I also have the endorsement of all four female justices on the state Supreme Court.
You have their endorsement?
I do.
What are you running for?
To be awesome.
Congratulations.
And when I sat them all down and said, look, listen, love the robes, love this look.
Love the look, love what you're doing. Yeah.
I gave them my pitch and they were like, if we could put you on the court right now, we can, but all we can do is just tell you to keep being yourself. I'm like, I'm going to keep on keeping on. So
just be you. Just be your awesomeness.
Exactly.
Looking forward to that. Hey, in the newsletter today, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Happy birthday, Kohl's Department Stores.
Oh.
62 years old today. Started this day in 1962 in Brookfield by Polish-Jewish immigrant Maxwell Kohl, who was already a successful grocer. He was, I think, 61 years old at that point. His son, Herb Kohl, who was in his 30s at that point, and other family members. Yeah, I know. A nice little unassuming family in the Milwaukee area. They didn't invent the racetrack design, but they certainly benefited from it and made the most of it where other department stores were still kind of doing like the aisles, you know, like go up this aisle, down this aisle, and they kind of did the racetrack design instead. It served them very well. Sold the company, I think, in the very early, sometime in the 1970s. But gave it a good start, and obviously a lot of them around to this day, well over 1,000 stores nationwide. But yeah, the Kohl's Department Store, 62. Isn't it funny how, you know, you can't always explain why some things make it and some don't. I'm thinking of Shopko, obviously, and Prangy Way, and, you know, Dayton's, and there was Marshall Fields and Bloomingdale's, Kmart, Sears. You know, the Woolworths, how some places don't make it. A Kohl's is still around. You know, Target is still going strong. Sometimes it's bad ownership, and sometimes, you know, for some reason, stores just fall out of favor. But, you know, Kohl's is still there. You know what you're going to get when you get there.
I think it's about adaptation. I mean, you really look at the what people want and what they need, and those days of the old department stores, like those gigantic, like I can buy my couch here and a suit and a cat.
Right?
Yeah, it's just those are kind of, I mean, we you know, yeah, it's about adaptation, I think, or just knowing when your time is done.
Perhaps, and then just transitioning into something else. Or just adapting with the times. Again, what Amazon is doing right now is nothing that Kmart or Sears couldn't have done had they adapted to internet, you know, and home delivery sooner, or at all. And they didn't. So Amazon, who never had to have a brick and mortar store, you know, just did it that way. But again, these are people way smarter than me making these decisions where you basically take a gamble on the future and what your customers are going to do. And Kohl's has managed to stick around with that. So good for them. Also in the newsletter today, about asthma inhalers, some major companies have now decided to cap inhaler prices at $35 a month. And the reason they're doing that is because of Tammy Baldwin and some other Democratic senators who put pressure on them. This blows me away. Between the asthma inhalers and insulin, what big pharmaceutical companies have been allowed to do. For example, the Democrats on the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee had done an investigation and found that AstraZeneca previously charged $645 in the U.S. for the same inhaler that it charged $49 for in the United Kingdom. And I just really respect that finally some people in office have been like, you know, we don't have to just let corporations do whatever they want when it comes to price gouging. Maybe we could do something about that. And they did.
And I think I mentioned this to you a couple weeks ago when Kamala Harris released her economic plan that talked about bringing price gouging under control and whether or not it was totally feasible that the government could come in there and make them lower their prices. But I think what it's going to do is force the topic of conversation into our households of like, oh, it's maybe not so much the government that's price gouging us. It's these companies like Kroger came out recently, admitted they were price gouging, and seeing that these are these corporations who are just doing it to us and we don't ask the question. So now that they're asking those questions, they can do something about it.
Yeah. And so it's nice to see that that is happening. And all you got to do is have a plan and execute the plan. Which takes us back to having some more fun with Donald Trump after 9 years, still having the concepts of a plan for healthcare. I created a video that you can find on TikTok and Instagram right now for Up North News that basically, you know, questions him in the debate going, what are your concepts? And I go through the concepts like, does the concept of your plan cover 2.5 million people in Wisconsin with pre-existing conditions? Because the Affordable Care Act does. You know, can you guarantee at least 3 insurance companies to choose from in all 72 counties? Because the Affordable Care Act does that. Will you get 260,000 people a year to sign up for marketplace coverage of your plan? Because that's what the Affordable Care Act does. And the point that I've made repeatedly about this is the Affordable Care Act is not some kind of a left-wing fever dream. It's not government-run health insurance. It's not government-imposed. It is a structured way that private insurance companies can offer affordable health care because it's a plan that was drawn up at the Heritage Foundation, the same people who are giving you Project 2025. It's just that it started as a right-wing idea. Democrats came in, and what did people do? They negotiated. They came up with something more moderate. They passed it. I'll never understand why people on the right can't look at the Affordable Care Act and declare victory and move on to say, hey, look, we got an affordable care plan out there that uses the private sector. It's not government doctors and government insurance. We won is what Republicans should be saying. And I will not understand, Craig, 14 years into it, why they simply won't declare victory and move on.
Because if they declare victory, Pat, they have to move on and they can't keep bringing it up anymore. They just like the fight. Some people, Pat, as we know, love the fight. And when the fight's over, they got to move on. And no, they'd rather just complain.
They would. And again, keep using this as some kind of a political cudgel. And they're doing the same thing with election integrity. We're going to talk about that after the break, especially as it deals with veterans. Yes, Derek Van Orden is out there being angry again on Capitol Hill. And we'll tell you how the Brewers did late last night in San Francisco. Why haven't I brought it up yet? Because it's not good. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in just a bit.
This is the Shaw WAUK. Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Ben Folds is 58 years old today. We'll have more birthdays and other notes in today's history lesson coming up 30 minutes from now here on Up North News Radio on this Thursday, September 12th, 6:20, the time right now. There have been more than a few memes out there, Greg, another fun with the whole concept of Donald Trump's concepts of a plan for health care. Looking at a few of them now, the one that made me laugh out loud was, I have the concepts of a plan, and you'll be hearing more about it in the near future, and it's a picture of George R.R. Martin. who is easily 12 years behind coming up with that next Game of Thrones related book.
Oh, dude, those books ain't never coming out. I don't want to tell you.
They're never coming out, but as soon as I saw his picture come up, just made me laugh. Although this one too, Concepts of a Plan, it's a picture of Doc Rivers. Cuts a little close to home, but you know,
Dan Schaefer or Joe Sapecki.
I know, but no lies detected. Concepts of a plan. What was the fire festival or whatever? Yeah. Where people remember the lunch with a couple of pieces of bread and some old cheese.
Yep,
the picture of that. Concepts of a plan. You know, yeah. Concept of a plan. A lot of people saying it's my new answer anytime somebody asks me for a status update at work. Others brought it home. Concepts of a plan. When my mom asks what I'm making for dinner as I stare at a tub of hummus.
I've been there.
Plenty of them from Seinfeld, Jason Alexander, because he seems like the kind of guy who would have concepts of a plan. There are no bad times in life. You are simply in between concepts of a plan. Ooh. So it just again goes to show, you know, people's BS detector still works, you know, when you hear something like that. It's just no bueno. The Giants beat up on the Brewers 13-2 last night, knocking around Brewers starter Colin Ray, who drops to 12-5. He started the game with consecutive four-run innings that he only lasted four innings in his third straight start, going only four innings. He allowed a career high 10 runs, 11 hits. Now, the Brewers do still hold an 8.5 game lead over the Cubs in the National League, but they have lost 5 of 7. So let's not add too much drama, guys, before the end of the season. They wrap up the series in San Francisco tonight at 8:45, pregame at 8:10. And then tomorrow they will start a series in Arizona. First pitch tomorrow will be at 8:40. All right, I mentioned that ballots are already starting to go out in some places for the November presidential election. In part, that's because for military voters and in other circumstances, ballots have to be mailed. And so it was actually Alabama had the earliest date on the calendar to begin sending out ballots to military and overseas voters. And having been an overseas voter, I can tell you that service is very greatly appreciated. And if I saw on the Wisconsin Elections Commission site just right, Their ballots going out to military and overseas voters have to be sent out by local clerks by a week from today. So ballots in Wisconsin are going to start to go out as well. The voter registration deadlines vary by state, but again, you can go to myvote.wi.gov to learn more about the voting where you are. And that takes us to the latest on Wisconsin's angriest congressman, Derek Van Orden, and another temper tantrum up on Capitol Hill. And this dealt with a meeting of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. You'll recall that a couple of weeks back, maybe it was just last week, we were talking about how the Biden administration is working to put in place something that's been on the books for like 30 years. And that is that federal government agencies can and should be more helpful with people voting, with helping them find the information to register to vote, to know the rules about voting. And now that the Biden administration has moved forward with that to have some federal offices begin to provide information, perhaps set up voter education centers, Republicans in Congress, who have been working so hard to suppress the vote in so many ways, decided that they thought that this was partisan, that there's something partisan about helping people register to vote, not to vote, not telling them how to vote, but just to get registered. And one of those areas is the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the fact that the first Veterans Affairs office that is moving forward with this plan to help veterans get registered to vote is in Michigan, which is a swing state. And so Republicans on the House Committee on Veterans Affairs want to subpoena VA officials for records that might show anything untoward about this. It was a rather large and vague request that they'd put out, and there was a kerfuffle, shall we say, on the committee, which started with Derek Van Orden calling the Democratic members liars and using the word manure several times, saying that he recognizes the smell of it from his district and smells it coming from across the room. Needless to say, the Democratic members took umbrage to being called liars about a matter as important as encouraging veterans to vote. And eventually, on a party line vote, the Republicans agreed to subpoena the Department of Veterans Affairs to learn more about their efforts to help veterans vote. But as I was looking back at the video from the other day, again, it's just this reminder that if you've got somebody as cantankerous, angry, and partisan as Derek Van Orden in your seat in Congress, you sometimes still have to wonder, how does he get nothing but friendly grandpa coverage every time he comes back and tours a farm when nothing's been done on a farm bill or anything else for that matter? The new Marquette poll has come out. What's always the main headline? The main headline is Wisconsin is a swing state. Wisconsin, the races are close. The races are within the margin of error. And this is one of those rare times where you see both the presidential race and the U.S. Senate race have the same numbers. 52% for Kamala Harris and for Tammy Baldwin, 48% for Donald Trump and for Eric Hovde. First off, that's going to vary. Tammy Baldwin almost always outpolls other Democrats on the ballot. Second, there is no way that there's going to be a four-point race for president in Wisconsin, where the last several, or most of the last several, have been decided by less than 5 points, sometimes less than one percentage point. So there is no four-point swing. So we don't put a lot of stock, shall we say, into that. But in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Craig Gilbert has an excellent article on the reason that Kamala Harris is doing better than Joe Biden in the polling, especially on issues, particular issues, but over on favorability and likability. And her numbers on likability compared to Donald Trump to nobody's surprise, would explain why she's made the race as close as it is. We'll talk more about this with Joe Zepecki coming up in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Can't you see?
The Shaw, WAUK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A ballot initiative in Colorado catching the attention of animal agriculture across the United States. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. The Colorado Livestock Association and multiple agricultural organizations are concerned about what's happening before the city and county of Denver. The groups are pushing back against an initiative that would prohibit livestock slaughter. The bill specifically is targeting Superior Farms, a lamb slaughter facility. Zach Riley is the executive director of the Colorado Livestock Association, and he says this kind of thing can happen to any facet of the livestock industry.
There is no language approval process similar to the statewide ballot initiative. The bar for getting something on the Denver ballot initiative is so incredibly low. You only need 8,000 signatures to get something on the Denver ballot, which to me is just ludicrous. I don't even understand how that gets through. But yeah, it would ban and prohibit any slaughterhouse in the Denver County and City, CNC, that does any killing. You could still process a carcass. So essentially targeting one singular business, which in my history with constitutional law is unconstitutional and highly illegal.
Zach Riley, executive director of the Colorado Livestock Association, he said, right now this initiative not only could put Superior Farms out of business, it would also displace almost 200 jobs. Markets are next.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau is the trusted voice leading agriculture forward. Through the efforts of farmers, supported by organizations like Farm Bureau, agriculture continues to sustainably advance, meeting the needs of today while addressing the challenges that come with feeding a growing population. By providing resources, training, and advocacy, Farm Bureau empowers farmers to embrace sustainable solutions for a stronger tomorrow.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Yesterday, barrel cheese gained another 4.5 cents to 238.5. 40-pound block cheese, another penny stronger at 231.5, while AA butter stood still. This morning, the October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 16 cents, currently at 23.74. November's down 31 at 23.02. December corn, a penny stronger right now at 4.06. November soybeans are up 4 at 10.04. December wheat right now up 4.5 at 5.33 a bushel. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 80 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy. Our low dropping into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high right around 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Get ready to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, September 16th. Get ready to go for the green or gold with your local Civic Media radio station. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show at 11:33, he joins us every other Thursday. The Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, joins us to talk all things sports balls. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back. It is Thursday morning, so Joseph Pecky is with us each and every Thursday. And having had a day to kind of process everything from the debate, we'll get into that, the Marquette Law School poll, and more. Joe, how are you?
I'm good. This was a good week.
Yeah. I mean, how are you feeling compared to, say, June 29th or so?
This is I like this feeling better. I would take this 12 times out of 10.
Yes. You know, my first online reaction, you know, as an instant pundit two nights ago, was that it was within 5 minutes that I paused the TV during the first debate and I turned to Sherry and I said, oh, something's not right.
Oh, no.
Our guy's not looking good. And I'm saying this in all fairness, that I believe that about 5 to 10 minutes into the debate on Tuesday night, I think some Republican-leaning voters paused the TV and said, I don't know about this. I'm not saying it's a ton of people. I'm just saying the number's not zero.
Listen, anyone who watched what happened on Tuesday night objectively knows that Kamala Harris wiped the floor with Donald Trump. My slight note on your take is I thought it took a little bit longer for her to really settle in and for him to lose his stuff, shall we say?
Yes.
That first question, I wish they had done the economy later in the debate, because these things are so built up and both candidates come out and they're not in rhythm yet. You got to find a way to like let them throw a couple of warm-up pitches before they're really in the pocket, if you know what I mean. Actually, to mix my metaphors.
You know what? You're right. I'm looking at my scribbled notes here, and I made note at about 3 minutes into the debate, this all sounds kind of canned. Trump looks a little tired. There wasn't more done to interrupt Trump on the ninth-month abortion thing, da-da-da-da-da. Then you get down to 30 minutes into the debate, and I put down crowd size, and we're off.
Yeah. So my take of the is like they started on the economy. Mm-hmm. Neither candidate was very good. Like they were fine. They both missed opportunities, frankly, to like, you know, hit the other one. But then that second question, the second topic on abortion, was where Vice President Harris really got comfortable. This is obviously an issue she's been out around the country on a lot since the Dobbs decision. And then when the third topic came up, immigration, when she laid the trap for him and started talking about people walking out of his rallies because they're boring, you could just see that the entire vibe shifted, right? Yes. It went from economy, they were both okay. Abortion, she was way better than he was. And the reports I've seen are that these focus groups, these like dial tests, that the difference between the green lines for Harris and the lines for Trump were as wide as people have ever seen in presidential debates, because he was the madman ranting and raving, not knowing what he was talking about. And she painted a picture of what these Trump abortion bans have meant for women. And it was just really powerful. And then we get to immigration. And she just leaves the door open for him. And from that point on, she was so in his kitchen. You know, the sound bite was the vice president saying, Vladimir Putin will eat your lunch. Or things like, dictators know they can manipulate you because they can flatter you and curry favor. And I think what the American people saw was Donald Trump is not the strong man he's pretending to be. What I saw on that stage was big beta energy, where there's no doubt left that she can walk into any room in the world and command it and be in control and project strength and wrap small-minded men like Donald Trump and like bend them to her will and play with them all she wants. Because from that point on, you could just see time after time, she would open the door and dangle a little treat in front of him, and he would just go straight down the rabbit hole, whether it was crowd sizes or how much money his daddy left him or the Central Park Five. Like, this man was tripling, quadrupling down on the Central Park Five, who have been exonerated. I mean, it just, it was a masterclass from Kamala Harris and an absolute embarrassment for Donald Trump throughout the 100 minutes.
Because a good litigator, again, wants to lead the jury down a path without them being, without them knowing they're being led down a path. And like you said, she used the crowd size thing in the context of immigration. He comes back with the, you know, eating dogs and cats thing and talking about migrant crimes, which walked right into the next step on that path, which was her being able to come back and say, this is rich, coming from a man who is a convicted criminal, and outline all of that. And on it went the whole time. And it's a reminder that, again, Donald Trump likes to talk about his business experience, but you just talked about going up against, you know, a strong woman. And people would say, well, has he never had that happen before? No, because he's been able to chart his own path. He's been able to always be, you know, the alpha male in whatever room he's in. He's never had this kind of a circumstance imposed on him. I mean, he did to a degree with Hillary Clinton, but, you know, she had her own baggage coming into it. Kamala Harris is much, you know, younger, has this fresh start appearance for a lot of the American voters. That takes nothing away from Hillary Clinton. But Kamala Harris was able to take what Hillary Clinton started and again show that Donald Trump cannot go up against a strong woman or, frankly, any other strong man vis-a-vis Putin and all the others.
He could not look at her.
No.
He couldn't make eye contact.
No, the smirks
her.
Instead. The smirks.
What kind of little, like, how small a man do you have to be that you can't look a woman in the eye when you're talking to her? It just, and like, listen, Hillary Clinton is not as good at this as Kamala Harris was. Full stop. Kamala Harris is really good at this. And it's such a weird thing. There's no time when you're commander in chief, national command authority, president of the United States, where you have to do what those two candidates did last night. So it's sort of a perverse ritual that we go through, but it reveals truths about these people. And that's why there's value. Kamala Harris clearly prepared. Donald Trump didn't. Kamala Harris came in with a plan and executed it. If Donald Trump had a plan, it was gone by the second topic. Kamala Harris was able to keep her composure and keep her wits about her, standing next to someone saying pretty heinous things about her and pretty ridiculous things about America and this country. And she was able to keep her cool. He wasn't able to do that even while she was being factual and direct. And what that reveals is the temperament and ability to handle stressful situations, which, by the way, in the Oval Office, they are often stressful situations. And it just, it reduced Donald Trump. It was like undressing him for the world to see. The emperor has no clothes. You and I know he never has. But the way she was able to just like take this guy apart one topic at a time was really, really remarkable and has left him weakened, smaller, and frankly, pretty desperate compared to where he was even a few days ago.
Would you say that from a Wisconsin impact, two things come to mind? One would be the debate over health care and, you know, what the Affordable Care Act has meant to Wisconsin and what would happen if Trump actually got it repealed without a plan. Although he says he has the concepts of a plan, so there's that. But then there's also he actually name-checked Wisconsin in again claiming, lying about, you know, claiming that he won in 2020. When you look at the debate from a Wisconsin point of view, were either of those or something else more impactful to the Wisconsin voter, that he's still lying about the election here or that he's still lying about having a big, beautiful healthcare replacement plan?
I wish I could say that they were. Healthcare is really important, as you know, and I do a lot of work on that issue. But I don't think the Wisconsin shout outs or those particular lies were more important than the broader truths that she laid bare. What undecided voters came into the debate wanting was a fuller picture of who Kamala Harris is. They don't feel like they really know her yet. And what they got last night was a command performance. That wasn't a debate. It was like a declaration of she is ready to lead. And they saw that, and they're going to be more comfortable with her going forward. And contra, people don't particularly like Donald Trump, and everybody's made up their mind. But what he did last night was he reminded people of their worst opinions of him and why they don't like him, from the election denialism and sore loserdom to the outright lying to the red-faced shouting. The guy was yelling the whole time. It was a terrible look. And so I think all told, very good night for Kamala Harris. Very problematic night for Donald Trump and people who want to see him succeed politically. And they already had an uphill climb given what we just learned from Marquette.
So that takes us to the poll that finds, first off, again, the ready disclaimer and top headline, Wisconsin is a battleground state. And these are close races, and they are within the margin of error. But there is, if you are the Harris-Walz campaign, if you are the Tammy Baldwin campaign, you know, there's reason to look at these numbers and not have any sense of panic, but essentially to say, all right, full speed ahead.
Yeah, you'd rather be the Harris-Walz campaign today than the Trump-Vance campaign. And so let's set the stage here so everybody understands. You've got smart listeners. Let's make sure they're armed and ready to be smart. That poll was out of the field. It was done by September 5th. So it took place like over August 28th to September 5th. That was almost a full week before the debate. So it doesn't take any of what happened the other night into account. A 5-point lead is a lot in Wisconsin. Now, I'm going to have a word of caution for my friends. Joe Biden was up by 3 or 4 in all of the final polls of Wisconsin 4 years ago, and he won by 30,000 votes, 20,000 votes. Right. So you can't take anything for granted. You can't take your foot off the gas. But I think it is more likely today that if you take the Marquette Law School poll at face value, like that if you say that a week ago it was a 5-point race, today it's more because of what happened on Tuesday night. And we got to finish the job because ballots go out very soon. I think 10 days from now or so is when mail ballots in Wisconsin can start being delivered to folks and people will start casting their ballots. But there's just no question you would rather be Kamala Harris than Donald Trump today from a political standpoint. And the question now becomes, what can Donald Trump do to change the trajectory of this race? Because since July 21st, it's really been moving in one direction. That, of course, was a couple days after the assassination attempt against Mr. Trump and when Joe Biden dropped out. Since then, it's been sort of a steady march of the more people see Kamala Harris, the more they hear from her, the more they like her, and the more likely they are to vote for her. And Trump doesn't seem capable of finding another gear or getting back to a place where he has the appeal that he once did. It's the line that Harris kept using was this tired old playbook. That's absolutely true, especially when it comes to some of the racist and misogynistic stuff. But there's also something to this, which is like, I'm not old enough to, you know, to know what fat Elvis, late stage Elvis was like, but some of these aging rockers who just can't let go. And you just see it. They don't have that zip anymore. That's who Donald Trump is. He is being reduced to the fraction of the man I think he's always been. But that, like, he had like a sheen of charisma and celebrity that helped kind of hide it.
Yeah, it's kind like, of a Studio 54 thing that he had way back in the day.
It's like the mask is just being ripped away. One bite at a time. It's very remarkable, and all credit to Kamala Harris because she did what nobody else has been able to do to him on a debate stage in the last 10 years.
I'm just wondering. I want to pursue this fat Elvis thing. I mean, do we get him white sequin jumpsuits now with a lot of scarves? I mean, should he just lean right into it and try to hold on to his fan base that way? It's a visual I didn't mean to give people this early in the morning, but we'll have to explore that another time as we've run out of time for this time around.
Joseph, most important here. Question. Most important yes. question. The yes. next time we talk a week from now, mm-hmm. will the Brewers have clinched?
Oh, absolutely. Eternal
Let's
optimist
go.
Over
Let's
here.
Let's go!
Let's do it. Thanks, Joe Specky. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Back after this, you're up north.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Pilot with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
As a roofer, I'm always on the go. So I need to be able to get things done from anywhere. That's why I partnered with Beacon. With their unique Beacon Pro Plus app, I've got the brands I depend on, like GAF, right at my fingertips 24/7. I rely on Beacon because I never stop building, and neither do they. Now through September 15th, purchase GAF through Beacon Pro Plus and earn up to $1,500. Go to BECN.com or download the Beacon Pro Plus app today. Beacon. Always building.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Midnight at the Oasis.
Today's history lesson starts with a birthday for Maria Muldaur. The singer is 82 years old today and gave us this classic 70s hit, Midnight at the Oasis. I have to admit, I wasn't a fan of it as a kid back then, but it's the music. I really like the melody. I would listen to instrumental versions of this as well. It's got a good composition.
This is yacht pop.
Yes. Well, I don't know if yacht would be the good thing, because you're in the desert here, but you're in an oasis, so maybe there's a yacht there.
A tiny yacht.
Could be all one mirage. You have to share with the listeners the note that you just sent me. It is so perfect, likening Donald Trump to Fat Elvis. What does Donald Trump need really right now?
This is totally feasible, and I'm putting it out to Las Vegas to do this. Give Trump his own residency where every night you go there and you just watch him give a speech or do a rally. It's a nightly rally. You go there. He can be in one place. He comes on stage. He works for an hour or two, and then he goes back to his hotel room. That's it. That's his residency. And honestly, I'm not even trying to be funny. That's something you can do.
I think, yes, you would actually see a boost in Vegas tourism. People would just want to go to Trump rallies, especially the ones where it's like, well, I don't want to actually vote for the guy. But, well, you know, he puts on a good show.
But then afterwards, you can vote for him and something like, did you like the show? Or did, like, you know, and everyone's going to vote yes and blah, blah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, so it can be a rally and then an election every night. Every night.
I can hear the folks in Vegas right now going, no, call Branson. Branson, Missouri would take him. We don't want him. But you never know. You never know. Tony thinks it sounds like an idea he would love. He absolutely would love that. Let's see. TV themes. I've talked about this before. Are there TV themes anymore? And any that would get radio airplay? There sure were back in the day. Here are a couple of TV themes from premieres, because we're in the fall premiere season for TV now. If you were watching NBC back in 1959, the first regularly scheduled TV program presented in color was this Western classic. Bonanza was set in the 1860s and centered on the wealthy Cartwright family, who lived in the vicinity of Virginia City, Nevada, bordering Lake Tahoe, which, when you really think about it, was simply the Yellowstone of its time. I'm not wrong on this. You just take the plot lines from Bonanza, add a lot more violence, a little bit more sex, maybe make the money a little bit higher, and Bonanza and Yellowstone, put them side by side. Not that I want to see Lorne Greene, you know, doing some of the things they do in Yellowstone. I'm prattling now. Here's another TV debut, this one from 1966, also on NBC.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys.
I mentioned yesterday that I just sent a bunch of camcorder tapes in, and so I'm looking at camcorder video from my girls from back when they were like 6 and 8 years old, and I just saw they didn't do the Monkees, but they did some musicals, like they were big fans of Grease.
Oh, yeah.
And I just saw the video of them doing Grease Lightning. It's so great.
That's cute.
It just makes me so happy. On this day, President John F. Kennedy delivered his We Choose to Go to the Moon speech at Rice University. And people at the time saying, oh, that sounds nice. That's nice. That's never going to happen. And in fact, it did happen less than 7 years later. We celebrate born this day in 1944, the late, great Barry White.
It doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough. It's not enough.
I hear it's not enough. No, that's Michael McDonald. Come on now. Barry White passed away in 2003. Born this day in 1944. The late Neil Peart, Rush drummer. Born this day in 1952. We mentioned that Ben Folds is 58 years old today. Jennifer Nettles from Sugarland hits the big 5-0 today.
I don't want to get a baby. Let's turn off the phone. I don't want to go to work today.
A very distinctive voice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like her a lot. Jennifer Nettles, 50 today. Actress Emmy Rossum from Shameless is 38 today. Singer-turned-actress Jennifer Hudson has a birthday today. First seen back in, what was it, 2003, competing on American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
Has become a big star, is an EGOT winner already.
Dang.
And today she turns 43. Actress Sydney Sweeney is 27 today from Euphoria and White Lotus. And Kelsey Ballerini turns 31 years old today.
I forgot I had dreams, I forgot I had wings, forgot who I was before I ever kissed you. Yeah, I thought I missed you, but I miss me more.
Today is National Chocolate Milkshake Day. I mean, honestly, is there any other kind? This is National Police Woman Day, it says here, which I guess that means if you see Angie Dickinson, say hi to her, because that was... Why do you put your head in your hands like that? Because you think this whole audience isn't 60 and above? I mean, come on.
Roger out there going, did someone just make a policewoman reference?
Yeah, yes, somebody had to. This is National Day of Encouragement. This is all part of Suicide Awareness Month and Week to, again, be an encouraging force on folks that are around you. This is National Video Game Day. And finally, this is National School Picture Day. And I have to say, we have those frames where it's like all in a circle, like there's from kindergarten to 11th grade,
yeah.
All the school photos are there, and then the senior picture is in the middle. And, you know, when you finish, first off, you think you're never going to finish it. Like, oh my God, it's so long. Now it's all filled in, and our daughters are always like, do you have to have those up on the wall?
Yes.
You know, now they're in their 30s. I'm like, yeah, we do. It's in the rule book for parents, and you're going to do the same thing for your kids. So hope y'all. And I still look in the basement. Sometimes we have, you know, so many boxes of stuff. And every year I still have like 30 school photos from every year because you don't give them all out.
Yeah,
so
of course not.
I'm going to start doing that, just dropping those randomly in people's Christmas cards.
I'm
going to
say, Christian, perfect. Here's a picture of the girls.
Supreme Court candidate Judge Susan Crawford's coming up next. You're up north.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's our popcorn pick of the week at 6:35, featuring Sandy's Popper from Kenosha. Miss Harbor City's Jenna Watkins joins the show, and Al Petrelli from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
At Fleet Farm, we know every opening day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday hunting gear from Winchester, Remington, and Bear. Everyday fishing gear from Daiwa, St. Croix, and Rapala. Everyday yard cleanup from Scott's, Fiskars, and Agri-Fab. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.